Hello friends, this is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. So glad that you are still tuned to this station. Please don't turn the dial. We're getting ready to gather around the Word of God as we do every Tuesday at this same time, and we pray that your heart is prepared to receive it today. If you're driving in your car, we just ask you to watch and pray. Hallelujah. Amen. As you listen to this broadcast today. But let's get around God's Word. Let's hear what the Spirit of the Lord through His Word has to say to the church today. And to you. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not excluded from this. We want you to hear from the Bible today on the theme that God has given us to teach on at this particular time. And we pray that somewhere, in as we receive as Christians the Word, that something will speak distinctly and directly to your heart. Praise God. We have a great subject today we're going to in just a moment called Spiritual Hunger, the Heart of True Revival. I understand the place of prayer. I understand the place of faith, the place of fasting if necessary. I understand the place of total devotion, of repentance, of all of these ingredients for true revival to occur. But there is a foundation stone for all of that, an undergirding, overarching reality in the Scripture that causes all of these other things to just come into place. And it is nothing less than spiritual hunger. When people get hungry for God, God responds to that. Amen. And He reciprocates by reaching out and manifesting Himself to us. So we just want to get that foundation stone in place so that the prayer that's necessary, the seeking that is necessary, all of those ingredients of true revival will come into play, and we will see a mighty move of God in every church and every gathering of believers everywhere. Praise God. That will impact this world evangelistically. If you don't know Jesus today and you have been exposed to a dead ritualistic routine type of religious experience, and you don't know the reality of a real relationship with God through Jesus Christ, please stay tuned and be our very special guest today as God speaks to us about His reality and His person and His power. We just want you to hear about this good, great, gracious God that we serve today that is stirring our hearts and spurring us onward. Praise God. I'm more enthusiastic about following Jesus than when I gave my heart to Him so many, many years ago. I have a zeal to serve God in this day because I believe that I and you, we are in the kingdom, if you're a Christian, for such a time as this. Before we go to Psalm 63 to read for our text that we're going to be ministering from today and teaching from today, we would like to invite you to come to our website. Just type in THCOG. THCOG. That stands for the Holy Church of God right here in Tampa, Florida, where I have been the senior pastor for 40 years and counting. Praise God. So there's over 1,300 sermons available. There are recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus, and we're just getting ready, my wife and I, to celebrate our 50th wedding anniversary coming up in May. God has took us through the fire and the flood, and He's brought us to where we are today, and here we are. Amen. I include her, even though she's not seated here beside me, because she's a helpmeet to me. We are in this thing together. And when I say together, it's not just me and Pamela. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God the Father. It's God the Holy Spirit. We're in this thing together. Praise God. Amen. So I'm excited about what God's going to do and what we're going to hear Him speak in a few moments as we just teach the Word of God. Holy Spirit is here. He's very active as the Word of God is brought forth. So if you'd like to come to our website, everything is free. Bible helps, inspirational songs, just a whole lot of good things. Nothing can be bought there. Everything is free because of the benevolence, the goodness, the graciousness of others who want everyone to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Spiritual hunger, the heart of true revival. Psalm 63, a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Now, he wasn't just in the wilderness going on a picnic. Believe me, this was no picnic. He was actually hiding from his son who was intent on killing him and taking his kingdom, and had raised an army of David's own countrymen that had sided with his rebellious son, and they were committed themselves to follow him in pursuit of David to kill him and take his kingdom. And David began to talk about what he missed most. You know, he wasn't talking about God preserving his life. He wasn't talking about, oh Lord, why is this happening to me? David was talking about being driven out of the holy city, away from that holy place, amen, and that proximity to where God's earthly presence was manifest. David was sensing a distinct spiritual hunger and thirst for the Lord, and to be just anywhere near where he knew the earthly presence of God was dwelling. Now, God is a spirit, so he was actually omnipresent. He was everywhere at one time, but the Holy Spirit was not given to manifest and mediate his presence. So David knew the place the presence of God dwells on the earth, not just high in his heaven, but right here up close and personal, was behind that linen veil of the temple. And I have been driven out of the holy city and away from that place, and my soul is thirsty, my heart is hungry. And he wrote Psalm 63 when he was in the wilderness of Judah. And he said, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee, for my soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in Thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise Thee with joyful lips. When I remember Thee upon my bed and meditate on Thee in the night watches, because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after Thee, and Thy right hand upholdeth me. Praise God. Last week we talked about David seeking God with his whole heart. Verse 1 says, O God, Thou art my God, and early will I seek Thee. Today we're going to talk about David seeking God with his soul. Amen. My soul, he said, distinctly, my soul thirsteth for Thee, still in that first verse of Psalm 63. David was in the desert of Judah. Water was scarce. Without it, a man would perish. But David's mind was consumed with desire for God, as a water-starved man can think of nothing else. He values nothing more than water to quench his thirst. He really was desperate for God. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2 said, As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so my soul panteth after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for the living God. Literally, to long for. To long for. God always, without exception, responds to the spiritually hungry and the spiritually thirsty. Again, I'm going to read from Psalm 143 in verse 6. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as in a thirsty land. And look how God responds, and I believe we ended up with this last week in Isaiah 44, verse 3 in review. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. God seeks to reveal those qualities of His character of divine love so that we may develop a deep, deep desire to seek Him. Revival and the blessings of revival is initiated by God's desire for us and reciprocated by our desire for God. Amen. So David sought God with his whole heart because he was hungry for the living God. David sought God with his whole soul because he was thirsty for the living God. And David sought God with all of his strength. He said, "My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Longeth, it means to pine after in the Hebrew. It means to faint with longing. Literally, to grow weak or thin with longing. It actually is an uncomfortable feeling because it can also mean torment. And I'll just call your attention to a PG-13 part of the Bible. Amen. Amen. I do that so teenagers will read the Song of Solomon because it's about real sensual love. It's a love story, and it's not in there because God wanted to take the musings of some man who is doting over his beloved and the doting of the beloved for the man, this particular lady. Amen. This is talking about something beyond that. If you want to understand the Song of Solomon, you've got to go to Ephesians in the New Testament and the New Covenant, where Paul is talking about the love that a man is supposed to have for his wife. And he said, "I'm going to show you a mystery. I'm not just talking about a man and a woman. I'm talking about Christ and His church." Hallelujah. And the Song of Solomon, friend, is not talking just about a man and a woman who are deeply in love and long for one another. Literally, in love that made them long for one another and long to be together because they were deeply in love. Friend, God loves you and He longs for fellowship with you. He said in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, to a church that was so full of ritual and so full of religion, if you please, and satisfied with their wealth, that Jesus is knocking at the door. And He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him and him with me." That means God longs for fellowship with us. Koinonia is the Greek word. It means intimacy between two people, two close friends, a man, a woman. It's based on love that brings a longing to be near the person that we are in love with. Amen. It is mushy stuff. The Bible is a love story from beginning to end. There is a God that loved this world enough to give His only begotten Son. And there's a Jesus that loved us enough to hang on the cross and absorb the wrath of God so that we could be forgiven and we could be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. The Scriptures declare the just has suffered for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. So in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "If you find my beloved, tell him that I am sick with love. That's what longeth is all about, to pine after, to faint with longing. That's what she was talking about. I just can't eat, I can't sleep, unless I'm with the one that I love so very, very much. David sought God with his heart, and he sought God with his soul, and then he sought God with his strength. He acted on that longing. Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9 said, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." See, this feeling is initially not comfortable, but it always brings satisfaction, because hunger is not a comfortable feeling. It's uncomfortable. But when you eat a good meal, you are satisfied. When you're able to find food, if you're thirsty, when you get that drink of water that you're longing for, it satisfies the deepest longings of your soul. And when we get hungry for God and seek Him out with our whole heart, He responds by manifesting Himself, and He fulfills the deepest longing of our heart and the deepest longing of our soul. One way I believe we could explain this is reading in John's Gospel in the New Covenant, chapter 4. Because a woman, a Syrophoenician woman, comes to Jacob's well to draw water. Before she arrives, Jesus has just arrived, and he's bone tired. In his physical body, he was exhausted, and he wanted to refresh himself in the shade and drink from that well. He told his disciples, "Go into the city and get us something to eat, lest we faint," literally become weak from not eating and drinking. And he's going to stay there while they're gone and be refreshed. And a woman comes, Syrophoenician. Normally, the Jewish religious culture of that day had nothing to do with those they considered to be outside the covenant of grace and mercy and faith. And he said to her, "Woman, give me to drink." She was shocked that, recognizing him as a Jew and maybe a rabbi, he said, "Give me to drink." And she began to draw him water. And he said, "Woman, if you knew who it was that said, 'Give me to drink,' you would ask of me, and I would give you living water, and you would never thirst again." If you drink from that well and drink your fill, you'll always come back for more. You'll always be looking for that, to slake your first, to thirst, to satisfy that deep longing. But if you know what I have spiritually to offer you, that longing will be satisfied by my presence in your life, by my Spirit. Folks, I want you to know today, I understand. I can never condone alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual addictions, any kind of addiction. But I understand the quest to fill a longing that nothing in this world can fill, an appetite that is never, ever satisfied, a thirst that is never, ever quenched. Jesus knew this woman's life and why she was actually involved in so many sinful activities, because she was seeking to satisfy that deep longing of her soul that only God can satisfy. Billy Graham quoted someone else, but he made the quote famous when he said, "There is a God-shaped vacuum inside every man, woman, boy, and girl, and only God can fill that great space and place within the human soul." That's why this is not just about escaping hell and going to heaven. This is about God having fellowship with us and manifesting Himself to us, that we find in Him what everyone without Him is looking for in this world through sinful practices, we find that satisfaction in Him. And as long as a Christian keeps drinking from that spiritual well, we have a great buffer against the enemy's temptations. He will offer us all kinds of things. None of them can satisfy the deepest longings and need of our soul. But Jesus said, I can do that. I'm ready to do it here. He said, you've had five husbands. You're living with a man now who isn't your husband. You're looking, literally, he was telling her, you're looking through relationships that are wrong for that I can only give you. And you know, this woman was so astounded that he knew her background. He wasn't pointing a finger at her. He was wanting to meet a need within her that would satisfy her. Amen. And through satisfying her, sanctify her, because she would quit looking for that fulfillment through sin and find it in God. Amen. And she said, sir, give me then this water. He said, if you come to drink today, you're going to come back and drink again and again. But if you knew who it was that said, give me a drink, you'd ask me, I'd give you living water. You would never thirst again. So thirst brings you to a place of seeking that will cause you to not be thirsty anymore, to be satisfied in the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible said godliness with contentment is great gain. If you have Jesus Christ today and He's satisfying that deep longing of your soul, and you have food for your body, you have raiment, you have a roof over your head, amen. God said you are rich. Hallelujah. And you know you are. Amen. The Scripture said we brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out of this world. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Hallelujah. Amen. Great gain are the real true riches. We have eternal life in the world to come, and we have His life here in this fallen world. Amen. Praise God. I'm so satisfied in Jesus today. Could I use a bigger house with a bigger closet? Sure, we could. We'd love that. My wife and I would love that. Do we need that to be happy, satisfied, fulfilled, joyous, and filled with gratitude? Not at all. Not at all. See, every house is not a home. I know people that have fine, grand homes, but they're not happy. They're not satisfied. I know people that work 7 days a week to try to find that will fulfill them through material possessions. And I know people that have very little comparatively, but they have everything that they need because they just don't need anything else to make them happy. I agree with someone who said it so well in a sentence. He is happiest who has fewest wants. And when Jesus fulfills that deep longing of our soul, having food and raiment for our body, we find complete contentment. Praise God. Amen. The Apostle Paul had found that, and he said, you know, I know how to abound. I know how to abound without becoming proud and fleshly and worldly. I know how to be abased. I know how to do without and be put down. I know how to be honored. I know how to be put down. I know how to be blessed abundantly materially, and I know how to do without and sacrifice. He said, but I've learned in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Hebrews 13:5 says, He has said, I'll never leave you. I will never forsake you, that we might boldly say the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. He gives us the grace that we need, sufficient grace. He giveth more grace when it's needed. He gives us all kinds of spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And above all the blessings, He gives us Himself. Hallelujah. He comes to abide within our heart, abide within our life. And His presence, the Bible said, in His presence, there's fullness of joy. See, the Bible said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not just for the body, for the fleshly life, although He cares and addresses those needs. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. Because we've been reconciled to God through what Jesus did at the cross, He can fellowship us. Not only was the veil rent so that we could come into God's presence behind the veil, but also that God could come from behind the veil and come to you and come to me. Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, there's no life like the life that has been enriched and satisfied and thereby sanctified by the presence and person of God within that life. Praise the Lord. I've lived without Him. I know what it is to live a life without God and without hope in this present world, to seek through sin that never satisfied my soul but threatened to destroy the most precious things in my life, my wife, my children, my very life. But I'm going to tell you today, I'm so glad for the day that I found out that Jesus had the answer. Hallelujah. That He did grant what He promised to the woman at the well, living water. That not only was my soul saved and I was sealed by the Holy Spirit and my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and my citizenship was in heaven, translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, but that now Jesus could keep a promise to give living water, to give something of such spiritual substance that our souls' longings would be satisfied. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something today. I wouldn't trade this life for anything in all of the world. If you're not a Christian, you're listening to this broadcast today. We need hunger and thirst for the Lord. We need something that brings us beyond just the religious rituals of a proper religion and a truthful religion. But we need more than religion. We need a religion that calls us to a relationship with God. Because blessed are the hungry and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled with exactly what they're hungry for. Praise God. You get hungry for the living God, God is going to fill you. Amen. And when you're full, there is a sense of deep satisfaction and contentment. That's why the Bible said to us as believers, be content with such things as you have, because you got Him. You have this fulfilling relationship spiritually. Amen. Hallelujah. Be content with such things as you have, for He said, I'll never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Praise God. So today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to invite you right now, in these pre-Easter opportunities before we celebrate the resurrection. Amen. I invite you to come to Jesus today. To open your heart to Him. Repent of your sin. Just say to Him, as you turn from that doesn't satisfy, to His promise, Lord, I don't want these sins anymore that tear at my life, threaten my soul, threaten to take from me all that is precious and good. I turn to You. Give me this water. Give me this water. And I believe God will come to you, fill you up, forgive your sin. Amen. Today, if you're a Christian, and your relationship with the Lord has been reduced to religious ritual, get hungry for Him again. Hungry enough to read your Bible, to seek His face, to pray in fellowship. Amen. To praise Him. To worship Him. Well, we love you. Time is gone. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk. about Jesus.
Desire and I long to worship.